Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 4 through 15. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes concerning righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord for all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This is a word from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For this I pray. Amen. So we have an identity. We know who we are, not only as individuals, but also who we are as people of faith. I mean, we believe in God. We are part of a long-standing legacy. But more importantly than that, we are part of the family of God. So take a moment to think about this Christian identity that you have. Think about what feeds your faith life. What feeds you as a Christian? Why do you have this need to believe? This need to belong? This need to be church? I mean, we all have our own reasons as to why we believe. I mean, some it's we choose to belong, and some we encourage others. We try to discover who Christ is, and we try to show who God is so that others can know this magnificent love that we have discovered through our faith. We want people to be able to see what we have, why we belong, why we are church for themselves. We want others to know exactly what we have discovered in Christ. That there is forgiveness for our sins. That the mercy of God is everlasting and that the grace God provides is without end. We also have come to know peace. And so Paul, in this part of his letter to the Romans, speaks to his frustrations about getting people to understand why we are Christian, why we believe in Christ, and why Jesus truly is the Son of God. So Paul writes this, for Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. It is about simple belief. It's making a statement of faith that we truly believe in God, the Creator, in Jesus the Christ, and in God's Holy Spirit sent out into the world for us. I mean, this is foundational. From the very beginning of faith, this idea of righteousness is there. It's about us connecting with God in very real and very profound ways. God spoke to Moses in the wilderness saying this, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." That's from Exodus 33. But he also spoke through the prophet Hosea, who said, "Those who are not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved." Do you see it right there? There is no limiting factor to God's grace, love, and mercy. If anything, it goes to show that God is in control, that God bestows that wonderful grace and that unlimited mercy as God sees fit. We humans cannot control it any more than we can control God. I mean, for the Israelites, the law served as an educational framework. It was a method for learning and knowing God. To observe the law was to be mindful of God. To be mindful of not only their faith, but mindful of their place in society. But Paul writes this. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But Christ comes into the world and changes our understanding of what it means to know God. Living in obedience to the law is a way of life, but it does not always lead to righteousness in and of itself before God. The righteousness of God for us comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. Having faith in Christ means that our focus has changed, and we look at the larger picture in terms of our faith. We understand that yes, sin is a part of our lives. Yes, we understand that we will struggle with temptation. We understand that we are far from perfect, but we can still obtain grace and mercy from the Lord our God. We do this through knowing and learning and sharing our love for Christ. But we have to be repentant of our sins, and we have to ask God into our hearts and to ask God to forgive our transgressions. It also means that even though we believe, even though we are saved, even though we claim a Christian identity, we do not have a license to sin. We are not free to run amok doing whatever we please. No, we must atone for our sins. And that doesn't mean simply giving lip service or for our public persona or our personal image. We don't just ask for atonement to save face. We have to mean it. And so this defines our personal faith, our personal relationship with Christ. Because God, through Christ, knows what is on our hearts, knows what is going on in our souls. God knows us. God knows who we are. Remember, we cannot hide ourselves from God. And so Paul reminds us of this relationship, this model of faith, with very poetic elegance. Paul writes, "If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Both of these actions work in concert with one another. Belief and confession. You can see how they work, how they fit together. You cannot have one without the other. You confess that you believe, and you believe because you confess. Confession without belief is meaningless, and belief without confession is hollow. So don't fear what others might think about you. Don't hide your faith away. I mean, you need to proclaim your identity. It's not enough to simply come to church and sit in the pews. And it's not enough to say, well, I go to church. My friends, you must be the church. It's a simple affirmation of faith. And it's one of the earliest too. It's our confession. What do we say? We say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Anyone else want to say that? Anyone else want to confess their faith? It's simple. Three or four little words. Any takers?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Usually it's a little peer pressure that gets it going. Are you not?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
If you can't say it in here, if you can't proclaim it in here, how can you proclaim it out there? That's what it means to be the church. It's not about what we do in here. It's about taking that confession of faith and going out there. You must be the church out in the world. But you see, you have to mean it. You have to feel it. It's not something you can just say. It has to come from your heart. You have to feel it when you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul reminds us too of these words from the prophet Isaiah. The scripture says this, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul, and you can hear the confession from my lips, that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Do not let anyone tell you that your faith is worthless, or that your faith is meaningless, or that your faith has no place in modern society. Because my friends, it really is more of a reflection on them. It's about the hollowness that is in their lives, their need to feel better about themselves. And so they judge you for something they cannot hope to ever understand. It's far easier to belittle you than to examine their own lives to see why that faith piece is missing. And if, just if, it might be worth considering or be something important. Anyone can come to know God, and anyone can become a follower of Christ. For God welcomes all believers, no matter where they come from. All souls are precious to the Lord. Paul writes this, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Paul reminds us that God is God. No matter where we come from, if we believe, God is still our God. Lord to all who confess their faith. Paul writes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But the confession of faith is the key. We have an obligation to share what we believe. That we need to answer those questions of why the church is so important to us. How our faith feeds our souls and informs our lives. God will help you in this, my friends. Think about why God is important to you. Why do you belong to the church? What informs your faith? Why do you believe? Your faith does not exist in a bubble. It is part of who you are. It is part of your identity. But Paul reminds us that this story needs to be shared. That others shared their story with us and taught us about the faith, and we are supposed to go and do likewise. Paul says this, "But how are they to call on one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him?" People need teachers. They need people experienced in faith, people who have been there before, people willing to share what they know. We must share the story of our faith. We are called to spread the gospel of Christ. We are the ones to tell of Jesus and how he works in our lives. We have to share him. We have to do this. Think about it. How are Christians portrayed today in the wider media, in the mass media, on social media? How are Christians portrayed? Falsely. Insincere. Judgmental. Dull. That describes Christians, you know? I mean, think about it. Do you know any Christians who are insincere about what they believe? That are dull people? Well, the Christians I know, all of the Christians I know are different. We don't fit into one little box. Not all of us are false. Not all of us are insincere. Not all of us are judgmental. And I hope not all of us are dull. Because there is so much joy. There is so much enthusiasm that we can spread as people of faith. And so I know this. I learned firsthand how different a Christian can be. One of the most profound lessons I learned came from the most unlikely of sources. A semi-homeless man. A man who could barely speak found joy in the church. A man so shattered by his past experiences, the horrors he had seen in life, still had faith. He was given up for broken and found healing in the Lord and could profess and proclaim his faith. That profound faith is amazing. And their faith strengthened my own. Because God's love transcends those neat little boxes that we try to cram either Christians or God inside of. But remember this, God's love can never be contained. The gospel surrounds us. We hear it in some very amazing places and from those unlikely sources, but it is always powerful. It is the story of God's love for God's people. That's Paul's message for us, my friends. The gospel is alive. It is well. It is ready to be shared. God uses us. We very imperfect, flawed people in very profound ways. So let yourselves be an instrument of the Lord. Don't worry about your burden, your baggage. Don't worry about your eloquence. Don't worry about not having the words. Let God worry about those things. Just share. Share your faith. Share why you are here. Why you come to church on Sunday morning. Why you give of your time and your talent to grow the church. Share why you're a Christian. Share why you have faith. Share why you have belief. My friends, go from this place and share your story. Because you never know what impact you might have on a person seeking something, but not knowing how they can call on the name of God in that moment of need. You're going to be in a position where you are that person. You are that reason. You are that conduit. Let God use you in that moment, because it will be for the greater glory of God. Just listen, for God is there with you.